mentioned to him that I was coming over, and he said, please do pass on the warm wishes of myself and family to the congregation, and do mention to the congregation that we have been thinking about them and praying for them. And I would like to pass on, therefore, the best wishes of the Reverend John Greer. I would, on behalf of my wife, family, like to thank you for your prayer support, praying for us as we labour for the Lord in this particular ministry and field of service. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you also for your prayers regarding my own physical health, which at times is not just so good. But the Lord has really undertaken. And of late, I have suffered somewhat from kidney complaints and kidney infections. And a month ago, I was in hospital for about the space of a week. And I do thank you for your prayers. And the Lord has really answered prayer in relation to my physical health. And I am indebted to you for your kindness, your support, and your prayer. So thank you in the Saviour's precious name for that. Well, I was coming over the night before on the Thursday evening. I wasn't home till late because I was up in Ballymena. We were conducting that monthly gospel meeting. When I came back, my girls were in bed. My oldest girl, Samantha, is 16, and she wrote me a little note, and it simply said, Dad, don't eat too much. Enjoy your trip to America. Hope you're safe and have a good time. She certainly placed it in the right order. She knows that I have been, over the past few months, have been trying hard to lose some weight, to keep the weight down a bit. And she put that top of the list. I said to the Reverend Hamilton, it was more because she knew that I would be staying with him for at least a week. And she had seen him in action at our local Chinese. And that came top. In fact, I was speaking to her just the other day, and the first word she said, Dad, have you been eating much? I said, we've had a little. Every few hours. So it is nice to be back with you and to share with you. It's nearly 4 years since I've been here. What a blessing it was to be here 4 years ago. It's been a blessing to be here already. And I trust indeed that we will know a great sense of the Lord's presence, a working in the midst. And we do rejoice with you in what the Lord has been doing. It's tremendous to see the church filled and so many people, and we rejoice in what the Lord has been doing and the blessing upon the ministry here. We're turning in the Word of God to the second book of Kings and to the chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. Today we're going to focus upon the words in verse 2 and verse 3. We read in verse 2, And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless these verses to our hearts for Jesus' sake. With the word of God opened, let us bow momentarily in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we thank thee today for the open page of sacred scripture. We thank thee for this more sure word of prophecy. O God our Father, we pray that thou wilt take these words and write them indelibly upon our hearts. We recognize our need today, that we need to hear thee and to hear thy voice afresh. We ask that the Spirit of God himself will take the word and apply it to our hearts. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to understand, a heart that will be obedient unto thy word. Lord, we would ask that in the reading of thy word, in the proclamation of the truth of God, that we would see Jesus Christ. May thy Son, the Lord Jesus, have the preeminence and all of the glory. O Lord, we pray, sir, like one of old sirs, we would see Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we would see Jesus Christ this morning hour. We ask in his precious and all-prevailing name. Amen. Amen. The passage that we have read together contains the story of the cleansing of Naaman the Syrian. Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria. In other words, he was a man, a mighty man in charge of one of the greatest armies of his day. He was also a personal friend of the king of Syria and a mighty man of valor. So he was an outstanding soldier, a highly respected man, someone of rank and position. But in spite of the inspiring description of this great man, the picture that the Bible gives us of this man is marred by the few words at the end of verse 1. For there we read, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was the victim of a terrible disease that would eventually result in death. But there came across this man's pathway someone who was to be the means of his deliverance, a little Jewish girl. She is described in the Word of God as a little maid. Under God, through God, this little girl was to be the means of his deliverance. Naaman was eventually to be cured by the witness and the testimony of a little Jewish girl in his home. She became what we might term an instrument in his salvation. Now, Naaman is a clear type or picture of the sinner, for leprosy is a picture of sin. Leprosy usually begins with just a little spot, but it develops quickly. It begins to spread and to grow until it becomes stronger and stronger, enveloping the whole body and consuming the man. Ultimately, it results in death. What a picture that is of sin. Of course, the devil presents sin, in particular to young people, as just a small thing. It is so insignificant and trivial. Could I speak to those who are young in the service today that the devil will try and put the thought in your mind and bring it before your mind that it's only a cigarette if someone was to offer it to you. It's only a glass of beer. How many people have found that it didn't end there? Oh, it seemed so small and insignificant at the start. The devil, of course, is so masterful at deceiving people. It is not just a small thing, or a small sin, if you might put it that way. Like leprosy, it will consume, it will envelop the whole man. The wages of sin is death. Of course, there is only one way to have that sin cleansed, to have it blotted out, to have the penalty and power of that sin removed. It is through the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is Naaman a type or a picture of the sinner, but the little maid is a picture of the Christian. She is a picture of the believer who, through their faith, through their testimony, can be a means of deliverance to sinners. And so this morning I want us to consider this witness, this faithful witness of the little maid. I want you to consider the circumstances that she was placed in. We read about these circumstances in the verse 2. There we read, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." She was taken from her home, carried off into a far country. She was placed in the household of Naaman, forced to become a servant looking after his wife. But we would have to conclude that all of these things happened in the providence of God. She was there in the will of God, in the place where the Lord wanted her to be, in order that he might use this little girl to be a testimony, a witness to reach Naaman. The circumstances, of course, seemed to be unfavourable to her. I wonder how each one of us present would react if we were placed in similar circumstances. You see, it is fair and well to serve the Lord when the sun is shining, when we have others by our side to encourage us, to help us, when there are believers with us in the battle. But alas, it can be another thing entirely different when the sun is hidden from view, when the clouds of discouragement and trial appear. It is another thing then to be faithful and to serve the Lord. Things can become so different. This morning I mentioned how that during my first year at the Bible College, the Whitfield College of the Bible in Northern Ireland, how during that first year I enjoyed somewhat very good health. During the summer recess, however, I was smitten down with sickness. I became quite ill. I was taken into hospital for a time. And I remember lying there in the hospital bed, and I was given some news that really to me it was devastating. I was told of some medical procedures that I must then use throughout the rest of my life and have to do. And I became so discouraged and overwhelmed. And I was trying to reason this out of my mind and heart and saying to the Lord, you know, I'm trying to serve you, Lord, here. I'm trying to do my best. Why do I have to suffer these things? But the Lord had taken me there into the hospital with a purpose. It was once again to show me the brevity of life, the need to be faithful, the need to persevere. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, was a verse that the Lord once again impressed upon my heart. And I vowed there before the Lord. I vowed and I said, Lord, if you raise me from this bed of sickness, despite the problems that I have in my kidneys and other organs, Lord, I'm going to serve you and I want to serve you the rest of my life. I wonder, is there someone here present and you have made a vow unto the Lord? Time in your life's experience, perhaps due to a circumstance, whatever, the Lord brought you to a particular point. There you vowed before the Lord you were going to give the Lord more. You were going to serve the Lord with all your heart. You were going to follow after the Lord. And yet today, perhaps you haven't honored that vow. You see, no matter what the circumstances in life, wherever the will of God may take us, the Lord desires that we would be faithful and obedient unto Him. The hymn writer penned it well when she said, "With mercy and with judgment, my web of time He wove. And they, the dews of sorrow, were lustered with His love. I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned, when throned where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land." But alas, whenever you're going through the fiery trials of life, circumstances that are perhaps hard to bear, you can't explain them, you can't work them out, It isn't so easy then to sing with conviction and with meaning, "I'll bless the hand that guided." You see, in reality, if it were left for us to choose our pathway or our direction in life, we would most certainly and always choose an easier way. However, we must recognize that nothing, absolutely nothing within our lives happens because of accident or chance. We need to remember and rest on the truth that God is sovereign. The wonderful sovereignty and providence of God is most certainly a great mystery. That the Lord worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Sometimes it is hard for us to recognize that principle in our own lives. But it is true that whatever comes to pass, God has sovereignly foreordained it. God rules and he overrules in the affairs of men for the furtherance of his plan and his purpose. And throughout all the circumstances of life, the Lord is working out that great eternal plan. It was therefore in the wisdom and in the will of God, therefore, this little girl came to the household of Naaman. I have no doubt but that there were times when this little maid would have naturally missed her family and her friends. She perhaps would have pondered and tried to reason out why she was there in that land. How come she was taken captive? What was the purpose in all of this? She was now waiting upon this mistress. Why had the will of God brought her to this place? Perhaps in the eyes of the world, men and women would have looked to her and would have said, "Well, you know, God has forsaken you. He's abandoned you. Where is your God now? What has your God done for you?" But the little girl was there because the Lord had sovereignly foreordained it. It was the will of God, therefore, that brought this little girl to the house of Naaman. We really have to think, don't we, to the life story of Joseph and think about the circumstances in Joseph's life, how his brethren had turned against him. They had cast him into the pit, sold him into slavery, placed him in, and he was then taken and placed in prison. And all the while in Joseph's life, and in that account, not those dealings, you would think that somehow that every step it was taking Joseph further and further down. But in reality, every step in the will of God, in the providence of God, in the sovereignty of God, was taking Joseph up. Up to the palace. Up to the place of providence that the Lord would have for him. The Lord, of course, brought him to the palace in order for him to provide for his family in the time of famine, that his family might be spared. The hand of providence brought therefore this little maid to Syria, what's more, to the very household of Naaman. She was in the exact place the Lord would have her to be. The circumstances certainly did not seem very favourable to her. Yet there arose an opportunity for her to become and to be a witness for the Lord. It is most certainly in the providence and in the mercy of God that the Lord has this church here as a light set upon the hill. Just as the Lord brought this little girl to Naaman's house, so the Lord has brought you as an individual, as a person, to the house of God here. In order to you might be a witness to the truth. I wonder, is there someone in our service this morning and you're not converted? You do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Could I say that I believe that it is in the providence of God that the Lord brings you here to his house to hear the word of God, just like Naaman? the Lord brings you in order that you might hear the truth of the Word of God, that you might hear faithful preaching from Dr. Allison and Dr. Dodson each week, that each week Christ will be presented as the only Savior of sinners to you. Now we read of how Naaman heeded the advice in the end. Never, ultimately he heeded that advice. He was cleansed. I wonder, have you heeded the advice of God's servants? Or you've heard faithfully of your need to be saved. But tell me, have you come to the cross? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The circumstances that this little girl was placed in, they were circumstances sovereignly ordained by the Lord. But I want you also to consider the concern that this little girl had. She had a tremendous concern and burden for Naaman. We read in the verse 3, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now we only have a few verses that will tell us about the life and the characteristics of this young girl. However, as we read them and study them, we will conclude and say with assurance, here was a young girl who possessed godly qualities and graces. And oh, for young people like that within our church and within our denomination, young people who will live for the glory of God and Jesus Christ. Young person, the best time to be a Christian is when you're young. The best time to serve God is now in your youth. I want to say this unreservedly. Surrender your life as a young person into the hands of God, into the will of God, and you will never regret giving your all to God. Never. I reassure you that you will not stand on the brink and the shore of eternity and say, oh, you know, I regret the day I give my heart and my all to the Lord. No, sir. In reality, we will each have to testify, if only I've given him more. A young girl who had godly qualities and graces, oh, how we ought to learn from her life. You see, one might expect her to show malice and hatred towards Naaman and his people. After all, hadn't they taken her captive against her will? Hadn't they led her away from her people and brought her into bondage? Yet she didn't display hatred or animosity here towards him, towards her family. She wasn't filled with prejudice. Rather, on the contrary, here is a young girl that despite these circumstances, she has a genuine heartfelt burden and concern for Naaman. I wonder how we would react if someone had treated us in like manner, in such fashion. Perhaps the thought would naturally come, well, you know, they've got what they deserve. They've got their just desert. But she didn't behave like that. Upon hearing of his leprosy, she was concerned. She, I believe, spoke very passionately about her Lord. Look at the words in verse 3. She said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria." And here there's passion in what she has to say. "Oh, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria." This little girl, she had a genuine heartfelt burden, a concern and a compassion for this man. Here, in this example of the little maid, we see a picture of the tender-hearted Christ His love toward sinners. The Savior who stood weeping over Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. How often would I? Ye would not. Oh, how often would I? Ye would not. If you turn over to the Gospel of Luke, please, into the chapter 15. Last night we, in our Bible class, just mentioned, made reference to this verse in a brief manner. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 1 we read, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This was one of the accusations of the scribes and Pharisees. Surely they thought that if this was the Messiah, he would be eating and drinking with them. After all, weren't they the religious leaders, the most important people? They weren't amongst this class or society that the Lord was associating with and ministering to. Yet they had missed the very purpose of Christ coming into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came not to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance. And the very people that they despised and they looked down upon and they hated and they showed malice to, Jesus Christ came to reach and came to save. He received those people. This man receiveth sinners, and praise God, he is still receiving sinners today. The Lord Jesus, you see, loved the unlovable, and he still does. How many illustrations we have that depict that in the Word of God. Think of the woman that was taken in adultery. We think of the instant when the woman of Samaria came to the well. I think of the vivid illustration of the man in John chapter 5, the impotent man at the side of the pool at Bethesda, who said, sir, I have no man. There's no one here to help me. There's no one who can change me. Perhaps that man was able to look down to the pool and see others been changed, but there's no hope for him. His life is so far gone. He's been 38 years in that condition. There's no remedy. There's no way back. Oh, I love the words that say, but when Jesus saw him. You see, that speaks to me of the tender-hearted Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ saw that man on his knees. His heart was moved. And the Lord wonderfully delivered him. The Lord Jesus, you see, receives sinners because he loves the unlovable. Oh, it does not include every one of us. There is nothing, you see, within us that would warrant or merit the righteous and the holy God of heaven to love us. Much more to send his Son to die for us. We do not deserve the least of the mercies of God. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves the loves the unlovable. I want to say he also touches the untouchable. If you turn to the Gospel of Matthew into the chapter 8, and we read in Matthew chapter 8, in the verse 2, Matthew 8 verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The leper, of course, was one who could not be reached He could not be cured. He could not be helped. Don't touch the leper. Touching the leper would mean contamination. Here was one Naaman who couldn't be touched. He was a leper. He couldn't be helped. And yet I believe firmly that this little maid, she touched him. Oh, she didn't touch him physically. There's no record of that. But you know, there were so many ways in which this little girl, she touched him with her witness. She touched him with her influence. She touched him with her compassion. She touched the leper with her love. There's no doubt, but this society in which we live needs the touch of God upon it. The hand of God. I wonder, are you willing, like this little girl, to be an instrument in the hand of God in order to touch and to reach this district and this community? There are so many ways in which we can touch others. We can touch the people around us, you see, with our prayers. If only we could fully realize the significance and the power of prayer. That without the Lord we can do nothing. But that through Christ we are more than conquerors. If only we could recognize more and more the need to persevere and to prevail in the place of prayer. We would touch others. You can touch those who are in sin with your witness, your testimony. You as a child of God can be an influence for good and for God. A signpost pointing men to Christ. By your life, by your witness, by the way you conduct your life, by your walk with God, we each and every one, those of us who are saved, can and ought to be a witness for the Lord. Of course, it is our duty and our responsibility to share the gospel, just as a watchman was placed upon the walls of the city to look out for imminent danger, to blow the trumpet, to warn the people, so every Christian has been called and placed upon the watchtower to be a witness to the unsaved. But I want to say this, it is not just our duty and our responsibility to be a witness, it is our privilege. A privilege. To tell others of the love of God in Christ, it's a privilege. And I want to say it ought not to be, of course we ought to serve the Lord out of duty and responsibility, but primarily we ought to serve the Lord because we love Him. The Apostle Paul said that it was the love of Christ that constrained him. It ought to be our love for Jesus Christ, our recognition of that work of grace and that triumph of grace within our hearts that ought to compel us to reach out to the unconverted. We cannot be silent because we want to tell men and women and young people the wondrous news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can touch men and women with your witness. You can touch the unsaved with real love and compassion. I remember reading an incident that took place in the life of George Mueller. George Mueller, of course, had a tremendous and an overwhelming burden, desire to reach the street children. By faith, he opened orphanages and saw the providence of God in a tremendous way working. Many, many occasions providing for their everyday needs. Young people whose lives were converted, changed by the power of God. It is recorded of one little boy who became very unruly in one of those orphanages. He overstepped the mark. He was disciplined, but he still persisted in his lawless behavior. Things became so bad that it was decided by the board that were governing the orphanage that this little boy was having a bad influence on other children, and he must be put out of the orphanage. Some years later, that young man told of and spoke of that occasion when he had to leave. He said that he came into the committee room, and there standing before him there were the committee of the orphanage and also the godly George Mueller. He said that as he looked up, he saw that Mr. Mueller was visibly upset. His eyes were filled with tears, and he began to tell the young man of how his unruly behaviour had now resulted in the fact that he would have to leave the home. It was with many tears racing down his cheeks that he turned to that young man and he said, "Young man, you'll have to leave." That young man, writing those years later and thinking upon that occasion, said that that day he was brought back to consider what had taken place, and he said that in the face of George Mueller he had a glimpse of the love of God in Christ, in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and his love towards sinners. He was wonderfully converted. You see, the love that George Mueller had for that young man was to be instrumental in winning him to Jesus Christ. Here was a young girl who had a great concern, a heartfelt burden for the leper. This man receiveth sinners. The Lord Jesus loves the unlovable. He touches the untouchable. He reaches the unreachable. Those who are said to be so far gone that there is no hope, no remedy for, Jesus Christ reaches. If you turn to the Gospel of Mark, to the chapter 5, this account of the demoniac is in many ways a picture of the life of the addict, someone bound in addiction. We read in Mark chapter 5, in the verse 3, that this man had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. No man could approach him. No man could reach him. There was no help for him. He was incurable. There he had his dwelling amongst the dead, the sepulchres, the tombs. We're told that always, always, night and day he would cut himself. The man was tormented night and day. That's the life of an addict. Some of the young people that we work with, I look at their arms and I see the marks and the abscesses and all that goes with it, and I think of the marks of sin in the body. Here was a man and he was bound and fettered. There was no way that he would be reached or cured. No way. There was no help for him. But look at the verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. You see, the Savior came to reach the unreachable. Of course, the lie of the devil is that man or woman, they're too far gone in sin. They're beyond the reach of God. No, they're not. No, they're not. When you turn to the book of Hebrews in the chapter 11, you read down through the mighty men of faith, Moses, Abraham, Noah, tremendous men of faith. You also read in that account, in that list, of Rahab. A woman who was an harlot. A woman who was right down the very depths of sin. And there amongst all of those heroes of faith, the Lord lifts up Rahab before the world. And it's as if there, set amongst that list of names, the Lord holds up Rahab and He says to the world, here is my grace. Here is my power to save. A woman who was an harlot. A woman who was beyond reach. Changed. Saved. By the grace of God. We ought to, like a little maid, have a genuine heartfelt burden and concern for the souls of men and women. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, but no man can work. Christian, your work on earth will soon be over, for our lives are so short and so brief. Tell me, will there be any stars in your crown? Isn't it true that we live in such an age when there are so many demands put upon us? Oftentimes very legitimate. But let us not miss out with God. The time that we have, let us use it to live for His glory. That in our circumstances and life, the place that the Lord has called us to, that we would be a faithful witness like a little girl unto the Lord. We have thought of her circumstances and her concern. But I want you also to consider her confidence. For the confidence of this little girl was in the Lord God. This little girl, you see, she was strong in her faith. She recognized that she was a weak vessel. She couldn't cure Naaman. She was but a poor little maid. But she was strong in her faith. And she believed with all of her heart that the Lord was able to cure Naaman. The Lord was able to meet the need. And her confidence and her faith was strong in the Lord. Of course, we would readily admit, and we need to realize more and more, that without the Lord we can do nothing. Of ourselves we are powerless. Of ourselves we will accomplish nothing. How we need to be strong in faith. She was not only strong in her faith, but she also stood up for her faith. Notice that this little girl here, she didn't remain quiet. She wasn't silenced. Oftentimes that can and is a problem for God's people everywhere. The unsaved, perhaps after the weekend, will come into the workplace, and how quickly, how readily they will boast of all of their sinful practices and what they've been involved in over the weekend. Yet the Christian's silent. Perhaps embarrassed. Perhaps afraid to speak a word. They'll be criticized. They'll be laughed down. They'll be put to scorn. But we must remember that the Lord has not called us to be popular, but to be faithful. And the Lord is seeking that we would be faithful in the workplace. That we would speak a word for the Lord. You know, the thought perhaps came to this little girl here, well, who am I to speak up? I'm only a little maid. I'll be put in my place. I'll be told to be quiet. I'll be silenced. But no, with boldness, with courage, with confidence, she's going to speak up. She's going to speak about the Lord. Naaman may have an incurable disease, but she has an almighty God in heaven. And she speaks up. What confidence she had. Look at verse 3. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. This little girl may have been many miles away from home in a strange land, but she did not leave her faith behind her. She may have been taken captive into a foreign country, but yet despite the pressing circumstances, she remained faithful. She wasn't here going to miss the opportunity. No, here is an opportunity to speak for the Lord. Isn't it amazing that this little maid that was so instrumental in Naaman's cleansing, that she said very, very little. In fact, well, certainly what we have recorded is very little of what this girl said. Just two verses about her. She didn't say very much, but what she did say was effective. You see, the Lord blesses the little things that we do. When we are sincere and faithful to the Lord, it is the little things that matter and the little things that count with God. Perhaps you're wondering, is there something that I can do for the Lord? Of course there is. It may be a word here, a word there, a gospel invitation, a tract given to someone, but the Lord blesses the little that we do when we do it for His glory, when we have a chief end and aim of bringing glory to His name. God blesses faithfulness. And He wants us to be faithful. Faithful in the little areas in our lives. In the little things that we do, the Lord wants to bless. The Lord providentially brought this little girl to Syria to be a witness. The Lord, you know, has brought you here to this church, to this work, in order that you likewise would be a witness to the truth of the gospel. That when your family, your friends, your neighbors look at your life, they will see the reality of the gospel outlived. As the body has different parts, so within the body of Christ, the various members have different functions. Within this church, we all have our different abilities, our several talents. The most important thing is that we use the abilities, the talents that the Lord has given each one of us faithfully in order for the Lord to be glorified. What encouragement this passage ought to be to every child of God. Here was a man who was incurable. Here was a man who was beyond reach. But this little girl was going to tell him of the Lord Jehovah, of the God who was able to meet the need. And the Lord blessed the little or the few things that this little girl had to say. He blessed her faithful witness and her testimony. He blessed her faith because it was resting confidently in the Lord. May we likewise look out upon this world. Oh yes, there are men and women deep dyed in sin. Men and women who are beyond help or beyond reach. Let us realize likewise our God is able to meet the need. Able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by Him. We need to pray earnestly that the Lord will give us a genuine heartfelt burden, a love for the souls of men and women. And that as we would seek to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord, that our eyes would be focused heavenward. That we would focus upon the great God of wonders. God who is able to do the impossible. The Lord who is able to save, to rescue, to cleanse for His glory alone. May the Lord give us the heart of the little maid. May He give us that genuine burden and concern. But likewise, may we have that faith that our God, despite the circumstance, despite the occasion, is the one able to meet the need, to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or even think. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Seek the Lord's face here at the end of our meeting. Perhaps you've come to this meeting this morning lost and without Christ. You can leave with your sins forgiven. Come to Christ. He sits at God's right hand and He welcomes those who seek Him. Come and lay hold of Him this morning. We are your servants for Jesus' sake. If we can help you in coming to Christ, please stay behind. Seek out either our brother Killen or myself or Dr. Dotson. We'd be happy with the Scriptures to point you to the Lamb of God. For the most part this morning, the message was to God's people. Do we have the compassion, the concern, the confidence to go to lost sinners and point them to Christ? May the Lord indeed give us that compassion. Give us that confidence in Christ. And we'll see many one to Christ in this 21st century. Gracious Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He is still saving sinners. We're thankful, Lord, for what we've read from Thy Word, that when men's power and ability is empty, that Thou art able to reach down and to save the leper, that Thou art able to cleanse the soul, that Thou art able to change the soul. Lord, we pray this morning for those who are here without Christ. Lord, we pray that they would know their own hearts changed this day, that they would know what it is to come and lay hold of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as Your people, give us great grace not to fight against Your providences, but Lord, to stand into them where You've put us, that we might indeed, to the Naamans of our day, be able to speak a word about our Savior. Lord, we pray, give us that boldness and that compassion. We're thankful, Lord, that the gospel works. We're thankful that we have experienced in our own heart and soul the power of that gospel. And we ask, O God, that You would continue to give us grace to speak of Thee, to tell what we know about Thee. And Lord, we pray that we would see many won unto Thee and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, help us as we go our several ways. Bring us back this night seeking Your face and seeking the power of the living Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.